what we learned investigating the death of Chicano student activist Oscar Gomez.
It sounds like you ran almost every theory to its end.
Binge all 8 episodes of Imperfect Paradise, The Forgotten Revolutionary, wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, it's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. I sure hope to see you coming up for our 19th annual Film Week Academy Awards preview. Typically, we do it at the theater at the Ace Hotel in downtown Los Angeles, that beautiful historic movie palace. But of course, this year we won't be gathering in person. It will be a virtual event, but we'll still be doing it the Sunday immediately prior to the Oscars. On Sunday, April 18th, 1 in the afternoon, we will gather online. Our Film Week critics will tell us about their picks for the Oscars, which films they think should have been included. We'll be taking 90 minutes to go through the major categories of the Oscars, and we want you to be there. In fact, if you've never been to the in-person event, this is a great chance for you to attend right from your own home. So please make your reservation. Let us know so we send you the link to the event. You'll find it at kpcc.org/in-person Sunday afternoon, April 18th, exactly a week before the Oscars, 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And the event will be held in your home or wherever you link up with us. Well, speaking of the Oscars, this morning, to my surprise, the nominations came out. We're later in this hour going to be talking about how we lose track of time sometimes under COVID. I somehow completely lost track that the Oscar nominations were coming out early this morning, and that's unusual. I'd say for someone who hosts a movie program to not be aware of that's a pretty embarrassing admission. But maybe I'm not alone. Maybe you've had an experience where you simply lost track of what's going on. We're going to talk about that later. But we did get the nominees. Mank, David Fincher's film about the making of Citizen Kane, that had 10 nominations, the most of any. Joining us to talk about the results, LA Film Critic Association president, and of course, our Film Week critic here on KPCC, Claudia Puig. Claudia, good morning.
Good morning, Larry. How are you?
I'm doing well. Does it seem like this Oscar schedule's off with it coming later this year? It just sort of blindsided me.
Totally. Yeah. No, I remembered it last week, but it was one of those things. I think on Friday, I was like, oh, yeah, it's Monday. First of all, it's usually on a different day. It's not usually on a Monday. It's usually middle of the week. And yeah, I think, you know, because everything's off and because we're in a pandemic, it was easy to kind of have it, you know, blindside us.
Yeah. Well, as you look at the category, we have 8 films that are nominated for Best Picture. I was a bit surprised that Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, one of my favorite films, was not included in the films for Best Picture. Did you have one that kind of surprised you?
Yeah, Ma Rainey's was definitely one of them. One Night in Miami and Defy Bloods, all 3 of them, you know, interestingly, Black-led dramas were snubbed in the Best Picture category, although they did get nominations in other categories. I was surprised by that, and I was also surprised in the directing category to see Thomas Vinterberg pop in there, whose films I have admired a lot, The Celebration and The Hunt. He popped in where Aaron Sorkin or Regina King would have been, you know, were more expected to be chosen. So that was surprising. But I think overall it was a really good year for diversity, particularly among the acting nominees. You had 9 or 6 out of the 20 acting slots going to Black actors and 9 total for people of color, because there were 3 Asian actors chosen as well. So that was a positive.
Yeah, and a lot of films with great roles for those great actors to perform. I mean, you mentioned some of the films that were not nominated for Best Picture but were in other categories. There was just such an incredible array of really tremendous roles and matches of talent this year. Tough to make the choices, I think.
I agree. It's a really tough year. You know, in the Best Actress and Best Actor category, it's really tough. Supporting is really tough. I mean, it's been a surprisingly good year. You know, I think what we all thought at the beginning of the pandemic, oh, there's going to be no movies, it's not going to be a good year, but it has actually been a good year. Yeah, aside from those snubs, I think overall, I think the Academy did fairly well.
In a very bizarre year where these films, of course, were shown online, typically not with the kinds of theatrical runs that we would be used to expect. And I know they're kind of arcane qualifying rules for the films being considered for the Oscars, but I think it's safe to say for anybody tuning into the Oscars ceremony April 25th, they will have seen almost all these films, whatever ones they have, in their homes, not in movie theaters. Also with us from Gold Derby, the media outlet dedicated to entertainment awards, Thelma Adams, film critic and longtime expert awards predictor for Gold Derby. Thelma, good morning to you.
Good afternoon, actually.
Oh, you're on the East.
And hi, Claudia. It's good to be on the same wavelength.
So, see, Thelma, that's my regional bias. I just assume anyone who's writing about film is, of course, on the West Coast. But let me start with. With any surprises for you that didn't fit what you had predicted here?
Oh, my God. The biggest surprise for me is Thomas Vinterberg getting a Best Director nomination. Because for me, Another Round, which is the Danish Best Foreign Language offering, is just such a fantastic movie and so well directed. So for me, it was really reassuring to see him, even though I hadn't predicted him, in the Best Director. And also, I would say, of the ones that Claudia said kind of slipped off the map, I would say Regina King got her message when the DGA said that she was Best First Film Director. So what they were saying was, we like One Night in Miami, but it's not yet a Best Director film.
All right. There's a chance for listeners to weigh in with what you think about the categories. We'll be taking more of them and telling you who the nominees are. We're at 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722. The Best Picture nominees are The Father, Judas and the Black Messiah, Mank, which led in total number of nominations with 10, Minari, Nomadland, Promising Young Woman, Sound of Metal, and The Trial of the Chicago 7. Those are the 8 films in contention for Best Picture. For the actor performances, Best Actress in a Leading Role, Viola Davis as Ma Rainey in Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, Andra Day as Billie Holiday in The United States versus Billie Holiday, Vanessa Kirby, Pieces of a Woman, Frances McDormand for Nomadland, and Carey Mulligan for Promising Young Woman. Thelma, that is a very tough category.
I was just thinking, that's exactly what I was thinking. This Best Actress category, tough. In part because, say, someone like Vanessa Kirby, who has a lot of weight behind her with The Crown, Pieces of a Woman she was fantastic in, but it was kind of mixed in terms of the overall response. Frances McDormand recently got an Oscar. So it seems like even though there's huge pressure behind Nomadland, I'm not sure she's going to win again. It's not a different enough role. I love Andra Day in The United States versus Billie Holiday. What a performance. So where does that leave us? Viola Davis and Carey Mulligan. I can't say. I think it's a real horse race here.
Well, and Claudia, how much, if you've got an actor nomination here, how much does the overall response to the film factor into it? Because sometimes there are films that are kind of, mediocre films or even less, and yet we've had an acting performance get the top honor.
Yes, that's true. That's very true. But I think Thelma brings up a good point with Pieces of a Woman. A lot of people just could not sit through that movie. They felt it was hard. It was just a difficult movie to sit through. So I think when it's, if it's kind of an okay movie with a fantastic performance, yes, that will work. But if it's a movie that people find difficult, I think that kind of undercuts that particular Best Actor's chance. And I think that may be the case with Pieces of a Woman. And I think that
it's true about Frances McDormand having gotten an Oscar before, and you know, it's she's wonderful in it, but it's also all about the entire ensemble cast. I think Carey Mulligan, I think it is between Viola Davis and Carey Mulligan, and I think Carey Mulligan might just pull it out. I also think it's interesting that the director of that film, Emerald Fennell, was nominated. This is the first year we've ever had more than one woman nominated for Best Director. So that's a big first.
Yeah, the other being Chloe Zhao for Nomadland, in which Frances McDormand stars. The other Best Director nominees are Thomas Vinterberg, as you heard, for Another Round, David Fincher for Mank, Lee Isaac Chung for Minari, Chloe Zhao, Nomadland, and Emerald Fennell for Promising Young Woman. Let's go to the actor in a leading role category, Riz Ahmed, with his terrific performance as a drummer who loses his hearing in Sound of Metal, Chadwick Boseman as musician in Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, Anthony Hopkins, the father, in that title role, Gary Oldman, the title role in Mank, and Stephen Ewan in Minari. Thelma, this is another tight category.
It's another very tight category. I am going to say Chadwick Boseman, because I feel that Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, like that he's representing, and it's a posthumous award. And he was so he was acting as if he knew that this was his last role. Then again, Anthony Hopkins in The Father, The Two Popes, he was fantastic. And then he comes right back next and does The Father. So he's on, my God, a career high. Again, one of the relative surprises is Riz Ahmed and the strength of Sound of Metal, so I wouldn't discount him.
Yeah. Yeah, Claudia, your thoughts about that category?
Yeah, well, I think in any other year, had it not been for Chadwick Boseman's sad and untimely death, I think that Riz Ahmed probably would have gotten it in the same kind of way that Rami Malek got it, playing Freddie Mercury. I think Riz Ahmed was so fantastic in Sound of Metal, and that's an example maybe of a performance that's even a little bit better than the movie, although I like the movie, but his performance was absolutely perfect. As was Anthony Hopkins. I think it's a kind of a three-way race between, I think, Riz, Chadwick Boseman, and Anthony Hopkins, but the fact that this is our last chance to ever give an award to Chadwick Boseman, and he's just been such a wonderful actor, a perfect example of someone who whose performances have outshone other movies that he's been in before. And so I think it's Chadwick's this year.
There have been a number of Oscars that have gone posthumously to performers. One of the ones I remember, Peter Finch for Network back in 1977. But there have been many of them over the years. Wouldn't it be kind of ironic, though, maybe that's not the right word, Claudia, if both of the lead acting performances were honored, Viola Davis and Chadwick Boseman for Ma Rainey, but the film isn't even nominated?
Yes. Yes. I could actually see a scenario in which that would happen. And that would show sort of the failure in a way of, you know, the system. Or it would also show the absolute strength of those two performances.
Yeah, I don't know, Thelma. What do you make of that? But I would have nominated the film. I was a big fan of it. But wouldn't that be kind of odd to have the two performances win?
Yeah, that would be odd. So my gut is that it won't happen. My gut would be that Chadwick Boseman will win, and that Viola Davis will be an also-ran for that movie. That her Best Actress win is in the future. Because since it didn't make Best Picture, I don't think they're going to turn around and then give them both Best Actor and Actress categories.
When you look at Best Director, Chloe Zhao, do you think, or David Fincher here, or someone else? Thelma?
In my case, I think it's Chloe all the way. Then the question is, how does that sit with Best Picture and whether they're going to split Best Picture and Best Director? But I think you're right that Fincher is a close second.
I'm just thinking because of the 10 Oscar nominations, as well as, you know, the high regard for him as a director. But Zhao, it's an opportunity to recognize someone who is comparatively new on the scene, although the writer, I know certainly people like me who see a lot of films love that movie, and great to see her arrive with one now that's being much better seen. Again, I'd love you to post your comments on the Air Talk page at kpecc.org and let us know your thoughts about any of these Oscar categories and what you think. Claudia, I did just quickly want to talk about the supporting performances, because often they're even more interesting performances than the leads. And here on the actress side, we have Maria Bakalova from Borat's subsequent movie film, Glenn Close in Hillbilly Elegy, Olivia Colman in The Father, Amanda Seyfried in Mank, and Young Yoo Jung in Minari. Tough category there.
Very tough category. My personal favorite is Young Yoo Jung for Minari. I just think she was amazing in a very, you know, with a great ensemble cast. And I think I'd love to see her kind of pull it out. I think it's a really tough category. I mean, Olivia Colman is the kind of person who wins a lot of awards. She won Best Actress for The Favorite. People love Amanda Seyfried's performance. Glenn Close's performance was fine, although I think it kind of divided people. The movie itself divided people. And I think Maria Bakalova, because it's a comedy, as good as she was in it and as good as the movie is, I think that could work against her. I think in her case, maybe just getting nominated is, you know, and because people don't necessarily know her, although that is the category where if someone hasn't done a whole lot before, they can get nominated or they can win. But my money is on Yoo Jung Yoo.
Yeah. Thelma, real quick thought on that one.
I'm with you. I'm with Claudia. I think, and it's funny with Glenn Close, this is an example to me of someone who deserves to get an Oscar, but this film did not rise to Oscar quality.
Her performance, extraordinary. I feel like I know that woman. So it was a great performance. And for actor in a supporting role, Sacha Baron Cohen for The Trial of the Chicago Seven, not for the film that he made, Daniel Kaluuya for Judas and the Black Messiah, Leslie Odom Jr., One Night in Miami, Paul, and I'm sorry, I don't know if it's Racy or Rossi, for Sound of Metal, a terrific performance, and Lakeith Stanfield for Judas and the Black Messiah. So we have two Judas performances that make it here, Claudia.
Yeah, and what was strange was that initially, I think the original plan was for Lakeith Stanfield to be the lead, Daniel Kaluuya to be supporting, and the Academy saw it differently. So they're kind of, I hope they don't cancel each other out because they're both so good.
That does happen a lot where you've got performers from the same film, though.
Absolutely, it does. Yeah, and I think in Sacha Baron Cohen's case, you know, if they gave it to him, it would be sort of a way of honoring the Borat subsequent movie film as well, you know, without honoring it because they're honoring him. But I think it could go to Leslie Odom Jr., and that's a way that movie will also get recognized because the performances were all so good. But Leslie Odom Jr., of course, being in One Night in Miami.
Yeah, Sam Cooke, yeah.
Also great. Yeah, exactly, Sam Cooke. And Paul Rossi was also really good. It's a really tough category because they're all – maybe the one slightly weaker link is Sacha Baron Cohen just because he was good, but I feel like the other performances were really superb. But yeah, it's too bad in a way that Lakeith and Daniel are up against each other.
Yeah, I feel that way so often. It speaks to the strength of the performances that you get those in the same film. Thank you both for being with us. I appreciate it. And, of course, much more in-depth conversation for our entire cast of Film Week critics coming up with our KPCC in-person event Sunday afternoon, April 18th, 1 o'clock. It's an in-person virtual event. You need to sign up, reserve your place. We'll send you a link to the live event at kpecc.org/in-person. And I want to thank our guests for this segment, Claudia Puig, from whom you hear regularly on Film Week, and Thelma Adams of Gold Derby, which is the media outlet for entertainment awards. She's film critic and longtime expert awards predictor. So coming up in this next segment, it's just you and me talking, and And I want to hear from you if you've sort of lost sense of where you are in the year at any point. We're in this sort of strange place where high school football is being played in the middle of March. The Oscars are long delayed. We've got events moved all over the place to accommodate pandemic scheduling. And the calendar just seems weird because we're home all the time, at least many of us. So I'd like to hear from you. What's an example of where you simply lost track of where you are in your life, and or have you found new rituals, new ways to be able to sort of ground where you are in the time of year? 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722. We'll be back in just 1 minute.
Support comes from Ciclavia, catalyzing vibrant public spaces, active transportation, and good health through car-free streets. Ciclavia promotes respect and infrastructure for bike and pedestrian-friendly public spaces. Enjoy these pop-up parks for the day in your favorite people-powered way. Jogging, biking, skating, strolling, or simply spectating. Free and open to all, Ciclavia Sundays generate miles of smiles in neighborhoods all over L.A. Details at www.ciclavia.org.